In Luke chapter number 4, we find Jesus being tempted of Satan. Anybody ever been tested and tried? You ever had days or weeks where he's just hounding you and pounding on your head? It could be thoughts of accusation and condemnation or harassment about, you know, something that's not going to work out or whatever. Anybody ever? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Am I the only one? You've had that happen where he's just pounding and harassing. And this just seemed like a season of where the devil piled up on you. And Jesus was going through one of those seasons here in Luke chapter number 4. And without taking the time to read every verse, you know, it says it happened for 40 days in verse number 2. But we have record of 3 of the temptations. So this was at the end of the whole thing. Jesus was tested in these 3 ways. Remember the first one, it said, or Satan said, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone be made bread. And then verse number 6 and 7 talks about Satan taking him up on high mountain and showing him the kingdoms of the world. And said, if you'll bow down and worship me, all be thine. You remember? And so Jesus answered that. And then he tempted him by cast yourself off the pinnacle of the temple. And, you know, the Bible said the angels will bear you up. And so he's tempted. He's tested. He's tried. The devil, there's pressure. This hounding voice keeps coming to say to do these things. And so Jesus, every single time, verse 4, verse 8, verse 12, he said, it is written, and he answered it. You know, things don't leave if you don't answer them. I had a situation recently where it was Satan really, I mean, he hit me hard on a particular thought. And it was actually, you know, you ever woken up in the nighttime and the devil's just sitting right there? Not trying to glorify him, but you know what I'm talking about. He just, and as soon as you wake up, he says, yakety yak, yak, yakety yak, yak. And that was what he did to me. And when you're sleepy, if you just woke up and you're sleepy, the temptation is just lay there and just, because you're about half awake. But I have taught myself over the years to wake myself up and say, it is written, or answer that thought. And that's what I did in this particular case. And it left, but for a couple of days he tried to get that back in, and I said, no, devil, I said, you're not getting an ounce, you're not getting an inch, I'm not giving you a moment of unbelief, I'm not giving you a moment of oppression, or a moment of heaviness, or a moment of depression, ha ha ha. And I just stood my ground. You know why we're to be strong in the Lord? Is so we can stand our ground. The Bible said, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And then he said, so you might stand. And so when Jesus was tested here, you look at this situation and eventually, and he kept answering Satan. And eventually we read in verse number 13, that when the devil had ended the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame. You remember the miracles started happening and so forth and so on. Well, I mean, returning in the power of the Spirit, in other words, he only took ground during that. He didn't lose any ground to the enemy. He took ground, and he came out under more power than he went in with. He came out of that place on fire. He came out of that place of the wilderness, in that place of testing, full of the Holy Ghost, and he came out doing more miracles. Amen. Praise God. And so the fact that Satan attacked was not unique to Jesus. He attacks all of us. He comes with thoughts. I don't believe Satan appeared to him here. The Bible says Jesus was tempted like as we are. Like as we are, he doesn't appear to us. I mean, that's not much of a temptation whenever it's obviously the devil. But it's he was tempted. But the thing about Jesus was he didn't give the devil any ground. You know what I mean by that? The devil, in other words, Jesus was absolute master of Satan. He didn't flinch. He didn't give in just a moment. He didn't take any of these thoughts. Amen. He was skillful. Say the word skillful. And when the devil did his best, threw everything at him he had, and pulled every trick out of his bag, and worked every strategy, appealed to every lust in Jesus' flesh, and tempted him in every way he could. And when it was all over, the devil's score was zero.
Zero.
The devil got nothing. Because Jesus was skillful. Hallelujah. He didn't get a moment. He didn't get anything in him. He didn't get a thought in Jesus. Do you realize just because a thought comes doesn't mean that was your thought? Just because a thought comes doesn't mean you've taken that thought. I'm 100% convinced when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask Jesus, actually, to make sure. But I'm convinced all these were thoughts. I mean, back, it's from the enemy. The Bible says it was from the enemy. But I mean, it wasn't a demon appearing or anything like that. It was just suggestions made to his mind, like as we. These things came to Jesus' thought life. You know, you'll never be a strong person of faith unless you are paying attention to what you're thinking. Paying attention to the thoughts that are coming to you and making sure that your mind has a bouncer by the doors. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You have to examine every thought. Every thought. The Bible didn't say take every other thought captive or some thoughts captive. It says take every thought captive. Every thought. There are thoughts that go through your mind just like my mind against our brother or sister in Christ. And you need to arrest those things and say, I refuse to think that way about my brother or my sister in Christ. Because I only think that which is true, that which is honest, that which is lovely, that which is of a good report.
Amen.
Amen. Because the devil is a master of separating, of getting hard feelings in people to separate one another, to separate them from one another. And when the devil succeeds in doing those things, it's evidence of a person who's lazy or not skillful with how the devil works. Amen. Or just lazy, like I said. Amen. The Lord spoke to me in June 14th of 2018. So I said, how do you know that? Because I write what the Lord says down. I encourage you to write what the Lord says. You'll forget it just as sure as the day is, just as sure as it's Wednesday. You'll forget it if you don't write it down. I mean, it's so real at the time that you'll think, I'll never forget this. But listen, it was something that came to your spirit, and you get busy mentally, and before you know it, gone. You got to write it down. So June 14, 2018, the Lord spoke to me and said, I woke up and he spoke to me and he said, very first thing he said, make my people skillful in faith. Yeah. Right.
Amen.
Oh man, that rings inside of me. At Spirit of Faith, you've learned about faith. You've learned about walking by faith. Begun to. I mean, that's true about all of us. That's not a slam on anybody. I've begun to learn. We've all learn some things, but we haven't learned everything. But let's not just begin learning about faith. Let's get skillful in practicing it. Skillful in practicing it. Practicing walking by faith. Bible said the just shall live by faith. Let's get good at the way we're supposed to live. And so, of course, you understand true skill can only come by, you know, acting on the word for ourselves. You know, no man can make a person skillful without that person stepping out and practicing the word for themselves. And I understood what the Lord meant. He wasn't telling me to make anybody do anything. He was just telling me that he was wanted me to teach people how to do it.
Right.
Yes, sir. Amen. Teach people how to do it. Make it simple. Make it to where the things that you've learned over the years by walking in it yourself, that you share those things and give those illustrations and tell those stories and talk about how the enemy worked and to oppose us, but we were faithful to practice the word, and God showed us how to do that, or you know, and give people the opportunity to hear rather than learn the hard way, like I had to in some cases. You can learn from somebody else. Amen. So, I mean, there's nobody skillful as Jesus. Here's Jesus, and God had this written down to help us be skillful with the enemy whenever he comes. Say skillful. Tell your neighbor, it's not enough that you know about faith. You have to learn to be skillful in faith. And there's nobody like Jesus to learn from, because he was perfect. He was excellent in every area, and especially in faith. But, you know, you gotta hang around winners. I like being around winners. I like learning, okay, how do you think? How do you? I like hanging around people who I can see success. In everything, but in spiritual things, I wanna know. And so here's Jesus succeeding. I mean, just in grand style, you might say, just a total master of Satan, complete insight into everything he's doing, and was always ahead of him. I like that. Amen. I heard one time a man said that. A story he told, he said, I was doing something, and he said, a thought came to me, jump off of that bridge. Just the thought. Jump off of that bridge. In other words, commit suicide. And he caught it just like that, and he said, devil, you jump off.
Amen.
I'm staying right here.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, there's a man aware of where that thought came from, and he instantly addressed the spirit that spoke to him. But see, a lot of Christians aren't really aware of where thoughts came from. They're not sharp. God wants us to be sharp. Tell your neighbor, you're getting sharper and sharper. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, Jesus came out of this season in Luke 4 totally unaffected. He came out without falling for a single strategy of the enemy. I love that. That's not my record. How many of you don't have that record? I can't say I've never fallen for a strategy of the enemy. I have fallen for the strategy of the enemy. And then after I've fallen, I've gone, ringy dingy. I said, I said, Lord, forgive me. And I got myself back up. Amen. And I learned from it. You know, make the devil eat everything that he took advantage of and say, now I'm on to you in that area. Now I'm on to you in that area. So, but Jesus came out of this with his record was perfect. He didn't fall for anything. He didn't, for any strategies of the enemy. He wasn't tripped up. He didn't begin to take the thought. Here's one. He didn't come out of the wilderness after all that temptation, all that pressure, all those harassing thoughts. He didn't come out of the wilderness with any baggage. Ooh. That's not been my record. I've had times where people treated me wrong, and I carried baggage for weeks. Finally, I realized I let that get on the inside of me, and the devil's been beating me up and eating my lunch because I took it. I took a strategy of the enemy. But Jesus came out of there without any baggage. You know, when people don't treat you right, if you're not careful, you'll pick up offense, unforgiveness, and you'll be carrying it around, and you got an attitude, and you're kind of irritated all the time, and the brother, and you're all suspicious of everybody now, you know, and you got some baggage. Jesus came out without any baggage. That's skill. I said, that's skill. He didn't come out. He didn't come out hindered in his mission. He didn't come out deterred. He didn't come out delayed. He didn't come out behind the out of step with God, and God's ahead of him, and he's out of step. You know what I'm talking about? He came out undeterred, unhindered, right on time, right on course, no baggage, wasn't tripped up, and he's still treading on the enemy. And he came out full of the Holy Ghost. He wasn't drained out. He wasn't weak. He wasn't, you know, harassed. He wasn't carrying baggage. He was just completely victorious. That's not been my record. But I'm further along, getting closer to that than I ever have been. Anybody gaining some skill? Hallelujah. Praise God. So, he came out stronger than he went in. Came out in the power of the Spirit. So, what we see then is not only did Jesus master the enemy in everything that he brought against him, Jesus made what the enemy brought against him work for him. He came out full of the Holy Spirit. So that's skillful in the Word. I want to shoot for that kind of thing. All these things I'm talking about, I want to shoot for that. Isn't that right? Now look at John 6, I believe here. Let me find the verse. I think I'm right about the John 14, excuse me. John 14, where am I at here? John 14 says, there's a verse that says, the prince of this world cometh, hath nothing in me. Verse 30. John 14, 30, herein I'll not talk much with you, for the prince of this world comes and hath nothing in me. Well, that was Jesus, Pastor Jay. Yeah. Go to 1 John 5, 18. First of all, before we read 1 John 5, 18, the Bible says in 1 John, as he is, so are we in this world. And look at this. Have you found 1 John 5:18? 1 John 5:18. We know that whosoever is born of God sins not, but he that is begotten of God keeps himself, and that wicked one touches him not. Huh? What? Keeps himself, and that wicked one. Is that possible? Where the devil never can touch you? Must be. Let's think of another verse, Ephesians 4:27. Neither give place to the devil. Neither give place to the devil. That's written to us as believers, isn't it? That must be possible, or God would not have said to do that. He wouldn't have said, don't give place to the devil if you couldn't do that. You realize any time we gave place to the devil, we didn't have to? Not a single time did we have to. In other words, the potential is within us. Oh, hallelujah. It's within every believer to keep the doors closed to the enemy to where so we could actually just walk just like Jesus, and he doesn't have a single place in our lives. He can't take any ground. Amen. Now, I've not reached that yet. I've missed it. And anybody honest here tonight, they'll say they've not reached that yet. But the potential is there. We cannot just take the attitude of, well, you know, we're all imperfect and I'm going to be imperfect. And, well, I mean, you got to reach for perfection. You got to reach for perfection. And let the Holy Ghost school us in faith to where we give no place to the enemy. And that's going to include a disciplined thought life where we don't take his thoughts. Amen. Praise the Lord. So the devil getting nothing in you and no place in your life is not due to the fact that he doesn't try. You know what I'm talking about? I don't know about you, but lately he's been trying like moment to moment. I don't know if it's because Brendan's closer to my life or what. I'm just kidding. Amen. You realize that he's trying all the time. The reason he gets no place in us is not because he stops trying. Oh, if the devil just leave me alone. Honey, if you want the devil to leave you alone, I'll pray for you tonight, but this is the way we're going to have to pray. Lord, kill him. Take him to heaven right now so the devil can leave him alone, because that's the only way you're going to not have trouble with these thoughts, these, you know, all the stuff that he throws at us. Temptation. So you having the victory, or the devil, you know, in other words, giving the, when I say victory tonight, I'm talking about giving no place to the enemy, is not due, it won't happen because he stops trying. It'll happen because you gain skill. That's why you and I keep coming to church. That's why you and I keep getting our Bible out and keep thinking on it and meditating in it, because it dawns on us as we do that. It dawns on us, oh, I see. I've been thinking wrong. Am I making any sense tonight? So it's not going to be because he stops trying. It's going to be because we gain skill. And so, you know, faith doesn't mean you and I won't be attacked. You realize that? Don't let the devil tell you because you were attacked, you're not skillful. We've got to understand that. That's a lie. Because the devil came, because he threw the fiery darts, because these things keep coming and you answer it and it leaves, but it comes right back. That doesn't mean you're not skillful. You understand that? I said, you have to understand that. We've got to get past the condemnation that the enemy throws at us because something happened. A thought came. We got behind financially. In that time is an opportunity to gain skill. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If the fact that an attack came meant we were unskillful, then Jesus in Luke 4 was unskillful. Faith doesn't mean you won't be attacked. Faith doesn't mean you don't go through seasons where there's bombardments. The thoughts of the enemy are coming like machine gun bullets sometimes. You kick one out and another one comes up. I don't think I'm strange. I don't think it's unusual to me. I believe every one of us have those things come to us. Anybody that's really paying attention. Amen. Now, in Daniel chapter 6, verse number 3, we won't go there, but it says Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes. Remember, he went to Babylon in the Babylonian captivity, and he became a part of the government there in Babylon. And he was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. A person who has an excellent spirit will develop in skillfulness in spiritual things. They're not sloppy. They're not lazy with their lessons. They don't just keep flunking. They are doers of the word, and they're getting better at it all the time because they have an excellent spirit. Where they're at is not okay. Amen. I know from me in my spiritual life where I'm at right now, where I'm at is not okay. God has progressively taught me things and brought me to where I am, and it has kept me because I keep walking in the light. But for where I'm going, this is not enough light. This is not enough doing the word. This is not enough right thinking for where I'm going. Amen. Because the devil will challenge you on a new level, he'll challenge you in new ways. And he'll try to knock you out before you even get there. And he'll test you. He'll throw things at you. Some of it's the same strategy, but they come a little different way. You know what I'm talking about? And he keeps testing and trying. That's a person with an excellent spirit. They never stop doing the word. They never just cry and say, I wish the devil would just go away. Or maybe if I quit, then he'll leave me alone. They don't think those thoughts. They're excellent. They keep on practicing what they know to do, whether they feel like it or not. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And so, there's I'll say this in passing. There's people, I'm sure, here in Eastern Iowa, Spirit of Faith Family Church, that think maybe we require too much out of people. Huh? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? We expect too much. Amen. You know what I'm talking about. You've had those thoughts. Don't look at me with that sanctimonious tone of voice. Pastor standards are so high. They expect a lot out of us and so forth and so on. Yeah, because we see more potential in you than maybe even you do. Amen. I have never really grown hanging around people who are less skillful than me. You know what I'm talking about? I've got a lot of good illustrations from people that are less skillful than me about how to not to do things, but I've never really grown. Amen. I've grown the most by people who stretch me, who challenge me. You know what I'm talking about? I've grown the most by letting them stretch me, because people can put a demand on your faith and a stretch on you, and you say, no, I'm not going there. But people that I've allowed to stretch me and to they see something in me, they've helped me more than anybody. Amen. But see, that excellence, that press for excellence, that press for skill keeps the flesh uncomfortable. It keeps the mind uncomfortable. And that's why we hear sometimes, they expect a lot out of us. Well, I'm just obeying the Lord. Whenever he sent us here, he said, I want you to raise the standard of excellence in ministry in Eastern Iowa. Amen. I really don't want to, I want to hit the pearly gates and I want to go through, but I really don't want to arrive there and the Lord say, well, you're here. Who's that ragtag team down there on earth you left down there, you know? Tripping over themselves. Don't know what they're doing. Giving place to the enemy. Aren't bearing any fruit for the kingdom. I'm not saying that's you. I'm saying if I didn't do what I'm doing, that would be you. Amen. We're pulling. We're up. We're pulling you up. We believe there's a lot of potential inside of you. Well, that was a good chance to say amen. I believe excellence is really a characteristic of the new nature, the new creation. I really do. I know it's part of God's nature, and we've received his nature. You think it's God's nature? Yeah, let me just ask you a question. How many of you, whenever you go to heaven, expect the throne room of God to look like maybe God is a hoarder or something?
Oh, no.
Huh? What's wrong? Y'all just shake your head and go like this. Huh? Why? How many of you expect the golden streets to be littered and unkept and dirty? And huh? No. What? You just intuitively know God is excellent. Don't you? It's just an intuition. People know that. You don't even have to teach them that. They know that. So that tells us that we know that's a characteristic of God's nature. Amen. I believe that came into all of us at the new birth. I believe we are to cultivate it. I also believe and know that there is a force or a flow, let's put it that way, in the earth of sloppiness. You know as well as I do, if you let your flesh go, you'll become sloppy. Your house will become sloppy. Your dress will become sloppy. Your hair will become sloppy. The amount of keeping track of your checkbook will become sloppy. If you let things go. I mean, your flesh is just by nature a lazy, sloppy. Mine too. I'm not getting on to you. It's a fleshly thing. You ever notice the more people yield to sin, the more ugly they get? I don't believe God created anybody ugly. But sin makes people ugly. Yeah, well, some of you are still not here in church yet, but. So I believe excellence and skill came into us in the new birth, and that we have to cultivate it. We have to press the flesh and the old mindsets, amen, to come up to our new nature, which is excellence. Oftentimes, the difference between success and failure is just simply excellence or skillfulness. You know, take a guy who works a job. A guy who's sloppy at it is not going to do as well or get promoted in the company like somebody who's excellent. They do a great job. They cross every T. They dot every I, so to speak. And they're good at what they're doing. And before they leave, they sweep up their bay or whatever, clean up, whatever. This, you know, I'm just using that as a hypothetical. And people like that, they tend to get promoted. They're organized. They're thoughtful. They're working as a team with everybody else. And before you know it, that guy gets promoted, and people that aren't excellent don't. Well, that's just a little side note. But let's focus in on tonight for the rest of the service one area that God's put in my heart to talk to you about being excellent. And that is, let's go to the book of Revelation, chapter number 12. Say Revelation. Revelation. Say not Revelations. You know how I know that? Yeah, you know, because I told you. I turned in a paper and I talked about the book of Revelations in Rhema. I turned in a paper that they requested. And I got a grade letter down because I said Revelations rather than Revelation. I never forgot it. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. Not a revelation of the end times, not a revelation of the Antichrist, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. All right, so Revelation, chapter number, let's see here, chapter number 12, verse number, Well, let's start down here and verse number 10. I heard a loud voice in heaven. Now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Notice that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. That tells you where this comes from. Then he said he accuses us before our God day and night. Do you know when you go before the throne of grace, the enemy comes with you? He accuses us, but notice, before our God. When we go there, there's an accuser. Anybody ever recognize when you go to prayer, there's an accusative voice that always stands there and saying, who do you think you are to ask God for that? You know how you failed. Do you remember whenever you acted this way? That accusing voice, that's Satan, the accuser of the brethren, who goes with you to the throne of God. Why? He's got an assignment to try to break down your faith in the presence of God to receive from God. Well, we need to understand those things. And notice it says, Satan goes, but notice with verse number 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Now notice, Satan came accusing, but they overcame. Who did they overcome? The accusations and the accuser. Isn't that right? So apparently these people were skillful with the word in the presence of the accuser. Amen. Now go to Hebrews chapter number 5 and we'll see what word they were skillful with. You still out there tonight? I'm really, really endeavoring to just keep it as short as possible tonight. Hebrews chapter number 5, look at verse number 13. It says here, tells us something we're to be skillful in. Hebrews 5:13. Everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Notice that term, unskillful. And notice the term, the word of righteousness. We need to be skillful with the word of righteousness. Skillful with the message of our right standing with God. Isn't that right? In the presence of the accuser. Amen. You can get good at not falling for all this. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If you're not, you'll fall into depressions, heaviness, over regrets and past failures and amen. I'm at an age where, you know, you start thinking about some things about end time and end of our days here on this earth. You know, and we've done some things to prepare for retirement, but you get to an age, it's like, ooh, I kind of regret taking that investment out of Apple all those years ago, you know. Because I remember investing in Apple. I had an opportunity to buy it at, I can't remember what it was. Just pennies on what it is today. You know, you kind of look back and you're like, ooh, calculator, ouch. I thought I needed that $1,000. You know what I'm talking about? If you're not careful, you're going to have regrets. But you and I are to become good at overcoming regrets. Amen. Because if we're not careful, before we know it, we're just living under a cloud of heaviness. And if we're not careful, it'll get us over into depression. Amen. How many of you know, number one, there's mercy? Number two, there's always a way of escape. God's got wisdom to regain things that maybe you shouldn't have lost. Yeah, praise the Lord. So we're not to live under a cloud of hopelessness or despair or thinking, you know, I wish I was further along. Where we're at financially is not, it doesn't look hopeless. But what I'm saying is, I see we could have been further along, and if I'm not careful, I get to regretting certain things. That's one I just thought of right now. Years ago, I put in some money into Apple. I'm wanting to say, is that possible? I'm wanting to say it was $5. Is that even possible? That's probably, I don't remember. But see, what is it today? It's more than $5, I'll tell you that. Well, see, no, but I don't live in that area of the devil. Well, yak, yak, yak. And if you, only if. I don't live in the past. You know what I'm talking about? All these accusations and so forth and so on, they bring condemnation. Condemnation is tied to things in the past. You realize you're not condemned about your future. You're condemned about something you should have done in the past that you didn't do in the past, or that you did in the past that you wishing hadn't have done in the past. Condemnation is tied to the things of the past. But here's the thing about it. It is the goal of condemnation and of the enemy in condemnation is to keep you from God's future. Amen. God has a bright future for us. And the enemy wants us to keep looking in the past and be condemned over it. But all that's doing is keeping us from seeing God's future. I know the plans and thoughts I have towards you, God says. Plans to do you good. One translation says, give you a hope and a future. I'm excited about my future, but I have to kick this condemnation stuff. Because there are things that I could be further along and should have been further along, but I cannot live there. That is completely unproductive thinking, you know. Praise God, we're learning about this. And so we got to become skillful with the word of righteousness, and that is that the past is under the blood. You remember Isaiah 43, it talks about, come, let us plead together. He said, though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be as white as snow. You remember that? Yeah. I'm he that blotteth out thy transgressions and will not remember thy sins. Then he said, put me in remembrance. Put me in remembrance that I won't remember. Put me in remembrance of my word and my promises, not put me in remembrance of your sin. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible said in Hebrews, 10:23? Let us hold fast to the confession of our faith without wavering. We never read in the New Testament anywhere, let us hold fast the confession of our sin and our past without wavering. Hallelujah. No, it's not hold fast the confession of sin. It's hold fast the confession of faith. The Bible teaches confession of sin. But we do it and then move on. We don't keep on confessing our sin. I failed, and so I'm not going to succeed. My future's not going to be the same because I failed. Well, he didn't say hold fast to the confession of your condemnation, of your guilt and your shame. He said hold fast your confession of faith. And that is in the blood and what it has done for you and how it blotted out the past. Praise God. I'm just getting started in really what's in my heart to share with you tonight. So we've got to be skillful with the word of righteousness. Isn't that right? It's only when we become skillful with the word of righteousness and casting down all sin consciousness and feelings of guilt and thoughts of unworthiness, you realize what I'm talking about, that we'll reach the full potential of what is available to us in God. I want to reach the full potential. But we've got to become skillful with the weapons of our warfare. Remember the Bible said, the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. We got to take the answer. We got to answer condemnation with the truth. It is written. Yeah. Amen. Amen. I've been telling some people lately, hold your head up. Because they feel so bad about something that happened. I say, hold your head up. Hold your head up. I want to see you. I want to see you with out shame. I don't want to see you with shame. Amen. I tell them. I say, like you remember Pilate said of Jesus, I find no fault in him. I want to look them in the eye and take their face and say, I find no fault in you. I find no fault in. I see right standing with God. I see a perfect heart. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We need to bless one another with that. Amen. Yeah, but they did something wrong. Well, what is forgiveness all for? It's to be able to get that past, get that from between us, and to be able to look at one another and say, we see no fault in you. You see no fault in me. I see no fault in you. Amen. I see the blood of Jesus. I see you forgiven. I see you cleansed. I see you owe me nothing. Because the devil likes to get these little things between us, doesn't he? And so we've got to be good at taking the sword of the Spirit to condemnation and feed one another's faith in their right standing, with God and with us. Praise God. The Bible said there, use the weapons of our warfare to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Well, how about cast down every suggestion of the enemy that we're guilty? If we were guilty, the blood solved that whenever we repented and got it right. Hallelujah. I know it's simple, but we need to become skillful and, if I could say this, not give the devil a moment of feeling sorry for ourselves. But I messed up, Pastor. Yeah, we all have. But what good is it to sit around feeling sorry about the past? The time that we give the devil to do, we let the devil beat us up like that, is the time that we're giving him place. And it's also the time, that's the space of time that we're living in unbelief. Shouldn't I have remorse? Yes. But once it's under the blood, let it go. Get back up, hold your head up high, and say, there is no fault in me. I stand before Him as if I've never missed it. And some of our missing it was not a heart to miss it. It's just, you know, we're just still learning. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. But the enemy wants to bring false knowledge and feelings of guilt. And do you realize not everybody who feels guilty is? There are people whose conscience is bothering them because they've done something wrong. But even once they've got it under the blood, they still walk around with feelings of guilt. That is not pleasing to God. That is actually, sometimes people do that to say, well, I'll just kind of feel guilty for a while so I can show God I'm really sorry. That doesn't please the Lord. That's saying His blood was not enough. His sacrifice was not enough. So let's get good. When we're talking about skillfulness tonight, we're focusing in on, as we finish up here, we're focusing in on getting good at forgiving ourselves. Forgiving ourselves. And guess what? Forgetting it. Forgetting it. Amen. I'm getting pretty good at this. I'm not perfect. Don't misunderstand me. You know that. But I'm getting good at this. Of forgetting it. Mark this down. Mark this down. So often when somebody, not even for to speak accusatively of them or whatever, but something comes up because we're discussing what to do about, you know, some reason, the history of it comes up, not the condemnation. You know what I'm saying? So often, you can ask Teresa, you can ask my wife, you can ask people that work in the staff. So often I'm like, okay, remind me what happened. Because I forget it. I forget it. I guess it could be almost dangerous, you know, because, but I do. I'm getting good at this. Tell your neighbor, we can all get real good at this. Husbands and wives, learn to forget it. Learn to just forget it. Learn to forget that that's the way they treated you. I'm never going to forget. Well, I'll forgive them, but I'll never forget. You're not very skillful at forgiving. Skillfulness in forgiving means first of all, emotionally, you're still not all worked up about it. Even if you remember it historically, you know what I mean by historically, you know, the trivia, the data that this happened and that happened. You need to forget it emotionally and forget it in the clinging on to your right to use it as a weapon against them. Oh, I'm preaching better than your amen. Hallelujah. Using that as a weapon forever and ever to try to manipulate them is yielding to the devil. He's the accuser of the brethren. Amen. But the Bible says, Romans 8:33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? You know, Satan's trying to do that. And when we start reminding people of their past, accusatively, we are actually yielding to the devil. I don't know about you. I don't want to yield to the devil. We have got to become skillful in these things and forgive people and forgive ourselves, because I'll tell you something, the devil's not playing games. He wants to swallow you whole and render you and neutralize your effectiveness in the kingdom of God and your faith. And he wants you sidelined out of the game, totally beat up, your faith injured, you're on the bench, you can't be used of God, you can't flow with God because you're all beat up and the devil's just beating you up. Can't pray effectively. You can't be a blessing to other people. Amen. Do you know oftentimes you need to Not only, if you're going to receive from God, you need to not only take, like, let's say you're going to God concerning healing. You need to not only take healing verses to the throne room. You need to take justification verses to the throne room. Forgiveness verses to the throne room. You know what I mean by that? In other words, verses that talk about your standing before God. Cleansing scriptures. 1 John 1:9, He's faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. And you need to stand there declaring, I'm cleansed. That's the good fight of faith, just as much as holding fast to the scriptures concerning healing. Amen. And those verses help you turn your focus away from Satan's accusations over onto the blood of Jesus. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Amen. How many of you know God's got something better for you to focus on the rest of your life than your failures, you're missing it, where you weren't up to par? And I don't believe God wants us going through the rest of our life just living under that cloud. He's made a way, that cloud just be gone, and there's nothing but bright sunshine. No guilt, condemnation, no sense of unworthiness, only a sense that I'm accepted, only a sense that I'm clean, that I'm worthy through the blood, not by our merits, but by His merits. Hallelujah. Right after in Romans 8 where Paul said, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? And he goes on and says, not God. But right after that he says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? You know what that tells us? So the accuser of the brethren, it tells us what he's trying to do whenever he tries to lay charge against us. What he's trying to do is he's trying to separate us from the love of God. Do you see how Paul said that? Who shall lay anything to the charge? Then who shall separate us? When Satan lays charge, he's trying to separate us from the love of God. In other words, separate us from receiving it. God will never stop loving, but the enemy, if we take his accusations and his thoughts of condemnation, will succeed in keeping us from receiving his forgiveness, receiving his love. Amen. Amen. Rather than coming into the presence of God drinking down the accusations of the enemy, why don't you come quoting the verses about the blood of Jesus? Put some faith in that blood. Amen? Bible didn't say in 1 John 4:16, we have known and believed the accusations of the accuser. It says we've known and believed the love of God. Let's know it. Let's act like we know it. Let's not give the devil a moment of guilty, beat down. I've failed. I've failed this person or that person, or I've failed my department head or failed my pastor. That needs to get out of this church. If we have, yes, humble ourselves and say, listen, I'm sorry. But then that living under a cloud of fear of displeasing somebody, that needs to get out of this church. And I'm not saying that in an accusation towards you. I'm saying let's be skillful against the enemy who's trying to keep us in that place. Amen. 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 Just because we have high standards around here doesn't mean we're to live in fear. Fear of failure. We've all failed. We've all acted stupid, had a bad attitude. You know what I'm talking about? But we all forgive one another, and we're not living in fear of failing. I'm helping somebody. Hallelujah. 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 Don't let Satan hold you in that arena. Praise the Lord. Well, that's what I had in my heart tonight. You know, the blood of Jesus is more powerful than guilt. Yes, it is. Hallelujah. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Paul said, I forget those things which are behind. I reach toward those things which are before. To forget, to go forward and reach for what's ahead, we've got to forget the past. We've got to answer those things and take the scriptures into the throne of grace and answer the devil whenever he comes as well. Amen.